I understood that both my parents drank. I hated the smell of it, and it made me go quiet. Under my layers of defense mechanisms, when I was 6, my brother molested me. When I told my mother, she said, "Oh, don't tell your father." And that's when it became my shame. My mother went in and out of mental hospitals, and my father would celebrate each time by having friends over to drink. They were both alcoholics. When they decided to get a divorce, and this is, I'm reading these because these are bullet points in both books. When they decided to get a divorce, my father urged me to go with him, that he would take me to Disneyland and buy me a horse when I got there. And my mother just cried and said to go with whomever I loved the most. I stayed with my mother, and she spiraled into heroin addiction, and I gave her her shots much of the time because I had the steadiest hand in the house, and that is no longer true. My brother joined the army, which left me there, all with the house full of drug addicts, because that's what happens when you take drugs. I was taken to juvenile hall and molested, and it wasn't a nice place. My mother sent me to juvenile home once, the first time, because she tried to get clean. And the day I was sent home to her, the next day she asked me for a hit. I gave it to her because I saw what happened when she didn't get it. She went into convulsion. But it conflicted me. I was kidnapped by my mother's boyfriend and kept with him for 4 days and 4 nights, during which I was repeatedly raped and beaten. He held the phone. He called my mother because she had broken up with him, and he wanted to get back with her. And the best way to get back with your girlfriend is to beat up her child, right? I mean, this is how druggies think. And she said she couldn't. He held the phone up to my ear, and she said, "Honey, you know I can't call the police." I said, "I know." And she said, "I don't think they'll hurt you." When I was let loose, 4 days later, I ran home. I was just, couldn't wait to get home to my mother. I ran in the door, and I ran up to her room, and she actually lifted herself out of bed a little bit and looked at me with this horribly raw, pained expression and said, "He didn't hurt you, did he?" And I said, "No." Then I backed out of the room, shut the door, slid down the door, and just hit myself in the head because I was angry and I didn't want to be. I'm covering the mic. I've got a few defense mechanisms on. The state took me away from my mother when I was 10 years old. And I went back to the juvenile shelter where there was a lady who would molest me and another girl. I don't know why. And eventually my father came to get me. And I thought, woohoo, my father came to get me. And he dropped me off with relatives, most of whom were alcoholics like he was, and many of whom were physically abusive. I learned to stuff down my feelings because I wasn't allowed to have them. And I learned to lie. And I learned to lie really well because a lot of times my safety depended on it. I attended approximately 20. So this is what I look like at 18 years old. I don't look like that shiny 4-year-old anymore. I've got something. The good news is that I knew that I was broken or the parts of me were. I called myself defective, and I vowed not to stay that way. Some of that is in the first book about childhood. I'll hold it. Okay. So I called myself defective, but I vowed not to stay that way. One way I did is that I made friends who, even though I was never going to get married, I told myself, I would only have a friend, be it male or female, if they were somebody that, if I was going to marry, that I would marry. So I ended up with good friends who would tell me the truth. I worked hard not to lie because it becomes second nature. I read the prophet continually, and it told me what love was because I didn't think I'd ever seen it. Head of the department in college, and he started, we had lunch once a week, and he would test me on my ideas of, oh, I can't, I don't think I can, you know, if this, like when I met Tim, he's probably going to go away. And this guy would say, well, what if he doesn't? You know, so he challenged me, and he, those 3 years helped me tremendously. My husband helped me understand that it was okay to be angry, because evidently I'd get a look that crossed my face, but it would be gone in an instant. And he would say, what was that feeling that just went by? I'd say, oh, nothing. And he finally said one day, he took my hand and he looked at me, said, you can get angry. You can tell me things that I've said that you don't like. I'm not going to hit you. I'm not going to yell at you. I want to hear them. What a revelation. So I started speaking my feelings, which really helped a lot. So then we get married, and it, recovery isn't a success only journey. I then realized, oh my God, I have no idea how to be a wife. I had nobody I lived with was a good role model. So I tailored myself on TV moms. I would be a TV mom. I did mom to heal. But I exhausted myself trying to get the kids ready. I bathed and put bed when my husband came home with dinner on the table while we were both working full time. He didn't do them for me. He would say, I think you can do it. You can. Try it. If you don't, I'll be right here. But I think you can do it. So it would have been real easy to find somebody who would have wanted to take care of me. He thought I'd be a great parent. I had insisted when we got married that every year and on New Year's, bad time to do this, we would sit down and decide if we wanted to be married for another year. I didn't want to be about year three. Child, and life got really busy. And he would help me in a cheerful manner. He would change diapers, he would do dishes, he would help with laundry. When I left him, remember I was still being gone for you, and it made me feel really guilty anytime he could help. Less than. Never said anything to Tim until I finally told him. After I told off the molester. It taught me how to wonder again, how to see things from kids' eyes. And then in year 10, our marriage had a huge bump. It was like a meteor dropped into the middle of it. I wanted to run, I wanted to go, I wanted to call it quits. And my husband said, we've been working through this. And every time I talked to him and cried, he listened to me. One time I talked to him and cried and apologized. And he stopped me and said, no, don't ever apologize because I created this. And I need to see what I've done. I finally told him, it was one of the last things I did, that I finally told him about the sexual abuse. And I told him in two parts. First time I told him the first night, which was the thing I was most comfortable with, telling him about the first night. And then finally I told him about the second, the next 3 days and nights. And he was wondering. Held me, told me I was all right now, and he didn't get angry and want to go kill the people. That may have made me feel guilty. I don't need somebody to get really strong and emotional when I'm still working through my stuff. But as I sit before you, I have no secrets, because secrets keep you sick. So I am open, I am transparent. If I, in the second book, I tell you some things about me and how I reacted that weren't very nice. But you know what? That's real. That's how I reacted. That's what's happened. And I'm okay with that. My first book, like I said, was about the abuse of my childhood, minus the man who molested me till I was 29, because he was still alive, and I didn't want to embarrass his family. But this time I told his family, I'm writing this book, and I'm not holding back anything. I'm telling it all. And the truth really does set you free. And the journey was quite difficult, but I'm here to tell you, I would not change a thing, not one little thing. I wouldn't change it, because I'm here today sitting before you, a joyful, open, colorful, loving person. And that's my talk. Thank you.